is Rob Darrow from Cannibal Corpse, and you're listening to Larry and Mary Fish on Fuck.
Hey, this is Meditator, and you're listening to Music City Metal.
Music City Metal, crank it up.
You are about to enter the Electric Fishbowl with DJ Fish. We are metal, we are family.
Music City Metal, I am in the fishbowl tonight with Larry, of course.
Hello. not alone.
No, we have, I heard that. We have two special, wonderful guests with us this evening from two completely opposite sides of the spectrum. We have Mr. Chris Tobia. Oh, the crowd goes wild.
They're not just guests. They are now family. Both of them we was born into us and one.
He told me to do the intro, people, and now he's interrupting again. Reckon.
So that being said,
and to my further right,
James.
The one, the only, where's the drum roll?
Oh, I don't know. I have all the music queued up.
You're
here.
Slacking, Fish.
That's it.
James Cole, the 150th. I'm kidding. The fourth.
I don't want to play his music.
Welcome, James.
Hi.
Are you glad you're here tonight?
I am. I'm high, I'm drunk, and I'm filled with pizza.
There you go. Couldn't be better. Chris, are you glad you're here tonight?
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
Chris is happy to be here as well.
Yeah, Chris is like a hard observer. We're going to get his opinion on some music, and we'll do our episode with Chris on supporting siblings.
We will, but in the meantime, James, what is new? The mustache is new, looks good. New since the last time I saw you. Oh, wait, well, that's okay.
You know, I mean, I shower every day, but that's about all I got in me anymore.
Hey, it's a start. It's a start. Shower, clean clothes, good start to the day.
Razor blades are expensive.
They are. It's more of trimmers because, you know, you can take a pair of scissors and try to trim your mustache, but it just takes one wrong move and then you look like a doofus. So if you just let it get ratty, then, you know, it's just as bad as it can get. It can't get worse.
Yeah. I'm attempting a long one myself. We'll see. It's already where I'm walking around itching it, but we're gonna just see what happens on my end too.
We'll see what happens between now and Fish Fest.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's a solid month. Something like that. Almost a month.
Oh, not
three
even.
Weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks from Friday. Yeah, and we're like, I don't know if you could like freaked out and exhilarated at the same time. Right, Mary?
I'm pretty stoked because I met all my deadlines with our advertisers, so I'm good. I'm clear sailing now.
So, Mary Fish, if you go look at the scene coming up in the double issue, Mary Fish did accept the drawing, of course. Hayden Cockrell was the artist, but all of the other design, you did that, start to finish.
I did. Where's the feedback coming from? You don't hear that?
Yeah. The feedback is coming from the.
Are you that deaf?
Hmm.
What?
But yeah, you did all that work. You did.
Yes, Hayden did
job.
The fish. Hayden is our fish man extraordinaire. But the rest of it, I honestly, I'm not gonna lie, my job could probably come back on me for a few hours throughout the day when I get bored and I'm sitting on conference calls as the phone's in my hand, and I don't know, I'm a type A, but I'm a creative. It's a very strange combination.
Yep.
James, what personality type are you?
The one that does not like being on his phone.
Oh, all right. Okay. A non-type A. Good. Okay. So tell us about your what you've been doing since we saw you last.
And it's been last time Six Semper, that had to be, it was 2018, right? Was it 19?
Hang on. Wow. What year is it?
It's 2021. We all lost a year in our math where you could say, I did that 2 years ago, because you do nothing for a year, and so it's all jarred up. So
it was definitely like I was almost 21, and I'm 23 now. Whenever I joined,
okay,
I joined them like literally like a month before I turned 21.
Maybe it was
a
year.
So what have you been doing in between all that time? Now you're legal. You've been making some music.
Well, whether or not I was legal had nothing to do with the fact of what I was doing. But I've just.
Couple videos come out, but
yeah, you know. try to get something out there every once in a while. You know, I got a lot of, like, you know, I pay for everything, so it's really hard to make sure whenever you want to put out the highest quality thing that you can to put it out consecutively.
Yeah.
But I've just basically put those last two singles out. I put a cover out, and then I've been working on an EP since.
Well, we get to sneak peek some stuff here. You sent me a handful today.
I did.
And we'll get to that later. But in the meantime, like you, so you said you spent almost a couple years doing this.
Yeah.
Tell me about your backup. Who's been playing with you, and what are you planning on? Because I know you're coming out as James Cole IV. Love the new logo. So as a solo act, mm-hmm. But catch us up on all that.
Since basically the beginning, other than with the first single, which I did with Norman, it's been Robbie Bingham. Bingham! that dude's just, he's been recording everything, mixing everything, mastering everything, and helping me write everything. I mean, there's one song in particular where it was actually just me and Evan wrote it, and then basically the rest of it has just been me and Robbie, you know, writing. He writes a majority of the instrumentals, actually, and then he basically, like, has, like, this thing sitting in his computer, and he'll go, hey, I think this might be cool for you. I'm like, hey, that actually, yeah, fuck it.
Fine. You're okay. Fine.
Just put explicit content.
We started doing that. Yeah, lately we have. You know, yeah, you're fine, dude.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, cool. I don't have to hold this back. Cool. All right. So it's just been me and Robbie mainly writing everything, recording everything. I've had a few of my friends come on and do some, like, guest stuff. I have a thing where I only want to work with people that I can really trust as a person. I mean, with Norman, I just kind of knew from the get-go that he was a really good dude, and that's why I was able to approach him. But afterwards, just I have this thing of I only want to work with people that I know are good people and will put, like, some sort of spotlight of happiness that I can look back on whenever I'm doing what I'm doing. So I have Evan Bird. I got Seeger Rolls doing some drums for me on one of the tracks. I've got Alec Hara. There's other ones that have not recorded their stuff yet, so I don't want to, like, you know, say that and then it not happen and then we all look like a bunch of dickheads. But I have a couple more that are going to come on and do some guest stuff. I'm excited to get it the fuck out and never have to think about it again. I'm so tired of it. I hate it.
Okay,
I don't want it anymore.
we're gonna do two, maybe three, if I could squeeze one more out of you. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, but before I go, because I have to, and thank you for sharing your creative people process with us, but I have to split. But before we forget, tell us where people can look you up, check out the music. Is anything out there? I know you have some videos out there. Where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can go on YouTube and just look up James Cole IV. You know, that's the Roman numerals for the fools. And then you know, Instagram, same thing. James Cole, there's a underscore in there somewhere. You figure it out. IV, and then Facebook is the same thing. James Cole IV. Just go on there if you want to check it out. I'd really appreciate it a lot.
Well, there's another cool thing. Since you have to go, Mary, I guess been waiting to announce this, but we do have an announcement to make.
Drum roll.
Well, I kind of have some kind of sound effect, but we've been kind of building up to who is going to be performing with Rob Barrett. And congratulations to Dystopian, who is the next episode of Music City Metal. And I'll save their reaction. And James you were going to be performing a song with Rob Barrett, and it was I started weaseling this in my brain and like, hey, Rob, check this out.
Oh, you have no idea what he has done in the background. Because, and not in like a boastful way. I'm just saying he has gotten this to the point where he knew he was going to get you in a happy position to be to say yes.
But with all due respect, would have accepted a gracious no, because when Mary and I started planning Fish Fest, we like sent out a general notice, let any band apply that wanted to. We had our brains set on some that we hope applied, and then there were the ones that we physically called, and you were one of the first.
I was.
I really wanted to have your solo act perform, and was so fucking bummed when you couldn't. And I understood.
I hate it too.
Because of your level of professionalism and what you bring to it, you just knew that it was unrealistic for you to be ready the way you want to be presented.
Yes.
And I have a lot of respect for that. But nonetheless, I was disappointed based on, you know, we love you, man. We've like ever since the day when you came over, I think it was the conniption episode or in the photo shoot, right? And you were there. You hung out at our house, like aside from seeing each other at a show. And right, Mary, I mean, when he left, like, wow, that dude, we love that guy right there.
Which is weird because I feel like most of the time, especially at shows, I am a very antisocial person. So like it is rare whenever I can just put all my hoopla out there for everybody to smell around me. But you know, it's
but I mean, am I correct, Mary? Like you, I can't remember. I don't want to speak for what you said, but you said something that day when James came over.
That boy
years ago.
Had a nice honey. I like that boulder. That's a
no,
nice
that wasn't
boulder.
What I looked at. I was looking at your boots because I remember taking pictures of your boots. There was something about the way they shined, and I turned them black and white, and I was like, can I take a picture of your boots? And I'm like, this kid's going to think I'm so weird. But I did it anyway, and I don't know. And you just had a nice comeback. You weren't like jackass about it. Like, who's this dipshit want to take a picture of my boots? You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird thing. Like, girls' shoes. Sometimes photographers have entire portfolios of shoes because there are some beautiful artists exactly of shoes. And the boots caught my eye, and I was like, all right, this kid's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you stood out in other ways, too, for sure. With
you asked my opinion. I gave you my opinion.
Well, I remember
and
the boots.
It is 6:59, and I'm about to go. Aren't you lucky?
Dang it, you're going to miss the music, Mary.
Oh, I'll listen to it in the post-production.
All right.
Chris, you're on.
Okay.
But thank you, Mary.
Mary.
For your...
Mary. Is it possible, Mary?
What do you mean?
To get another beer, Mary?
Oh my God! Because I'm the girl.
No,
what?
Because you're heading out
I'm
the door.
Closest to the door. Yes.
Of course,
thank you,
ma'am.
It is. You're welcome.
She's the best. All right, let's pull a tune up.
Which one is this?
You've done so well introducing these that we got to play one. Well, we have one that is unnamed. You want to save the mystery one? We'll save that one because we have one without a name. But Not Dead, Just Pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect name for very happy song. Love it. Not Dead, Just Pissed. So anything you want to... say you played on this one, we'll talk, introduce it anyway.
Yeah, so me and Robbie wrote this one. I love piano and synths and choirs and violins and just classic music in general. So I really wanted to bring that into the EP. So this one is a mixture actually of some synth patterns that I made and then another one that he made, and I was like, how about instead of trying to compare to the two, we just throw them together and see what the fuck happens? And it turned out kind of cool. I'm kind of happy about it. It's a song about, having panic attacks, but being mad about, you know, the things that you have to deal with when you are a person that deals with things like that in general. So like when it's all done, instead of just sitting there and feeling sorry for yourself, you're just fucking mad that it's a thing in the first place.
Wow. Very cool. See,
that's why
That was a nice introduction. Yeah, all right. Let's hear it then. We all had panic attacks. Chris, have you ever had a panic attack? Sorry. That's how we're going to bring you in the show and talk about it. You don't have to. Music City Metal, James, in the studio here with James Cole, one of not only a performer for one of the coolest parts of the night, but one of the very essential stagehands with Bryson. It's you, basically you, Bryson, and Andy that we brought on. And
Hashtag Music City Road Crew.
That's it. Music City Road Crew. Good guys. I mean, last year, you never left. Like, even in the rain, you were, like, standing there. I'd walk out. I'm like, dude, you can get out of the rain now. I'm good. I'm good. Oh, my goodness. I'd walk by and you just... I love it, man. Yeah. All right, let's hear this tune here. Not Dead, Just Pissed. Gonna like it. Music City Metal. Music City Metal, James Cole the Fourth, pissed, not dead, just pissed. Not dead, just pissed.
It's a stupid name. I know.
It's not stupid. It's different. I don't know. As well as that, that's what we're sitting here talking about it when the song ended. But very cool arrangement. That little bed that you do have in there adds a really nice element that I like.
Thanks.
Yeah. How many of these you got? You know, laid out, like what's the total number?
Right now I have that one. I have that one. I have another one that'll get played. I have one that is in demo mode where basically, so for some of these songs, he'll send me the instrumental and then I'll try to hear what I want to write that one about. This entire EP is more or less a collection of my favorite horror movies, my favorite part of horror movies, and a collection of that, and just the the mental stuff that I just deal with. It's not something that I like actually like really talking about. That's why I just made it a music thing. But I mean, it's about,
hey, you know, it's the way you get it out. I said on that thing last episode, I said it a gazillion times on Music City Metal, but there has been evidence that, like, on paper research, that people into our style of music have lower instances of mental health. Not saying that it doesn't happen, but they believe that our coping mechanism is why, you know, the lyrics can be dark and ugly and scary, you know, but it's all real life. And the pit, but Rob and I talked about it. Rob Barrett got in, and I got into that a little bit, but I believe it. So, like, you're putting it to music, which is like an artistic way, and there has to be some kind of healing in that. You know what I mean? Or at least acceptance of that you're messed up. You know, I've dealt with depression and anxiety and some PTSD and all that. It's like real things that affect you, you know, but I don't know. I think it's cool that you just say, hey, man, it's in the music, you know?
Yeah. And at the same time, I feel like it's super cool and super awesome that it's now becoming a very known thing. It's no longer something that really gets, you know, hidden under rocks and stuff. And, you know, there's an entire population of people that are coming forward and saying, yeah, I'm fucked up. And you don't have to be, right, you know, scared of that or ashamed of it anymore and stuff like that. But at the same time, I feel like now you take one step forward with the human race and then you take two steps backward, because now it's becoming a thing for certain people to just use it as an excuse for attention or, you know, self-promotion, like, whatever it is. There's so many people out there that take advantage of the fact that it's being accepted more and turning it into one of those like social media things, you know, where, right, people care about it for about 2 weeks,
no,
share it all around, and then completely forget about it again. It's turned into one of those things. So I hate talking about my stuff. I mean, like, you know, like here it's a little bit maybe different, but like if you're at a party and everybody's just chilling, and then you come up and you're like, yeah, by the way, my PTSD and my anxiety makes me uncomfortable with this conversation. Well,
yeah, that doesn't happen.
Why did you walk into the conversation in the first place? It's just, yeah. So that's why I decided, right, to put it into music and try to figure out a way to really express certain things, because I don't like writing about things that aren't just raw. When it comes to, you know, maybe like other genres and the things that I get hired on for by other artists, I'm on a job at that point. But when it comes to metal, I don't believe in censoring myself or censoring the way that I think about things. So I kind of more or less just try to figure out how to say that shit and make it rhyme and just put it out there. Sometimes it's really mean. Sometimes it's really self-degrading. Sometimes it's just not something that you want to hear in an everyday conversation, but it's real, regardless of whether or not the music sounds just like everybody else's music that's in the metal scene right now. It's real for me. So that's just the way I want to approach it.
My brother, when you take the stage and you got a mic in your hand, watch out. Whoever's out there, watch out.
Yeah, because I might fall off the stage.
Yeah. Oh my God. I thought it was a WWE, like what that whole thing with you and Sidewinder. You guys are so good at that. And I got freaked out for a second. I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Did I see blood? And something. But anyway, I mean, just you as a front man, all that stuff goes away. And your ability as a front man is what's there, sharing it, screaming it out. It was cool to see you perform again back at the Ozfest thing. After that night, I want to ask James, you know, I got the go ahead here. I'm going to ask, and I'm really glad that, and excited that you're going to be a part of one of the coolest parts of the night, man.
I'm honestly stoked. I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified. Not of Rob Barrett. He seems like a cool guy, but like,
it's going to be good, though.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. I just got to keep telling myself, you're not going to fuck it up. Yeah.
Well, we're excited. Speaking of Fish Fest, this is the last weekend to get to buy BOGO free ticket on Friday, just up till the 30th. That is on Friday, October 22nd, and Saturday the 23rd. Music City Metal Day, hell of a lineup all day long. Go to fishproductions.rocks. You can see it, of course. The whole thing about Rob wanting a break for the meet and greet, I thought was really cool. Like, it kind of was difficult for a minute, but he's like, look, you know, like, I want to spend time with people, and I'm not going to do that to a band. I thought that was pretty legit, and I understood, like, he didn't want everyone not paying attention to a band that was playing. So we have a break, you know, we got a nice break. You'll have time from then on to go stuff your face and prep and
take a nap.
Oh, we actually have real dressing room facilities this year, man. How about that? Shit. Yes.
I might just go all out and put my little makeup on. That's where
all the food will be. Yeah. We're very excited. I also want to mention to 102.9 The Buzz, stay in tune to that station because they're giving away 8 pairs of VIP tickets for the weekend of Fish Fest. That means VIP access to the side stage area, the VIP meet and greet with Rob Barrett, which will be private, just a few winners. And a handful of people where you can bring any item you want. There is a public meet and greet for everyone that walks through there is going to be able to say hello. It'll be basically like a step and repeat type of a situation. So everybody gets a shot at it. But get your tickets. Yeah, man. Get them. Now's the time. We want to sell tickets.
Get them. Get them now.
So the Six Semper Boys, have you stayed in touch with anyone?
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah.
Some of them.
They moved, right? I mean, a couple of them.
Yeah, everybody moved out of state, but me. Zach's in state. He's in Memphis right now. He was young whenever he got with us. He was only like 18 or 19 whenever he started. You know, he was there before I was there, and he was young. He was already young as fuck. So he's just doing his thing, getting life together, you know, getting his own place, and you know, like really just taking a stepping stone on becoming an adult. And he's also still working and looking for music. So I'm super proud of that kid. Josh is in Florida.
It's easy to get lost down there.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, after the breakup, he definitely needed a good break. I'm hoping to see him again soon. He's, you know, we've kept in touch. And
nice.
Whenever he comes back to state, we'll see each other again. Roger's doing music still. He moved back to his home state. And he's having a good time. He's doing what he loves. He's just doing his thing. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not upset. You know, things happen
did. That's good. It happens. Yeah, you're right, man. Life takes everyone in different directions and don't expect it. And
those dudes took care of me. Whenever I first met them, they were like,
yeah,
they all had jobs and a place to live and everything. I had a car. I had a car and no job. And I was like, you know, I in the beginning, like, I stayed a lot on their couch. The Six Emperor apartment that it was. And, I mean, we were around each other like all the time, every day. It was cool. Honestly, if I could have another band like that, where like, we want to be around each other that much, we want to hang out all the time. We want to fucking spend the night and, you know, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just like a big, like, overgrown 16-year-old that likes sleepovers, but I like it when my friends come over and spend the night. We get to make breakfast in the morning.
Oh, no,
and shit.
We were like,
who wants McDonald's? I'm hungover.
Our house kind of just seems to be that way in general, too. We love having guests, and whether it's family or our adopted family, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, especially when you're young, hanging out and knock the beer bottles over in the morning. Anyway, let's. I want to play. Gosh, I want to play a lot of this stuff. But this next one here that is basically untitled, right?
It is Untitled. The reason it's technically this entire damn thing has been pre-planned and it was ready. This was going to be the title track off of the EP, but one of my favorite bands, and again, like this song was recorded, like it was written in February last year and recorded in October of last year after rewrites. And, you know, the title track of the EP was decided and everything. And then one of my favorite bands about a month ago released either it was like a single for an album or just the album in general. I don't know. I looked at it and I was kind of like, but they named it the same thing. So I got to change it. I don't know what it is at one point, but it's fucking.
No.
It's
yeah, no, can't do that. Right. All right. So Untitled, but nonetheless. Maybe we'll get some crowd support and get some ideas.
We'll see. You can fuck to this song if you really want to.
Chris, your thoughts.
I don't even know what to say about it. Do I need to play my input? Or do you want me
just
to
try walk? To match the drum beat. You'll get through it real fucking quick, bud. I promise you.
What, with every thrust, maybe?
Every thrust is a kick.
Before it's
jackrabbit
released.
Your ass through that shit.
Music City Metal, James Cole, not only just going to be there flipping bands, but performing at Fish Fest this year with Rob Barrett. Let's hear this.
Yeah, it's named...
Music City Metal.
My pain is constant and sharp, and I do not hope for a better world for anyone. In fact, I want my pain to be inflicted on others. I want no one to escape. But even after admitting this, there is no catharsis. My punishment continues to elude me, and I gain no deeper knowledge of myself. No new knowledge can be extracted from my telling. This confession has meant nothing. We'll be right back.
There's that throat of yours, man. Unmistakable. The untitled track by James Cole the Fourth. What's the goal, man? Tell me the goal for the next year. What are we gonna see, or what do you hope to see?
Hopefully it'll be out by next year. We'll see where it goes. I'm hoping. You know what? No, I'm not even gonna give a time frame. You'll get it at one point. It could be like 5 years from now. I might get so sick of this thing that I just say fuck it and start moving on to something else, and then you guys can get it later. I don't know. Well,
maybe you got enough put out there now. You could start a crowdfunding campaign or something. I would help you.
Man,
just saying. Man. I'm putting it out there.
I don't like people's money.
I heard that, but you're giving them something. People don't give unless they like what they're getting back. So I don't know. We'll see. It's just an idea.
The whole scene has changed.
You know, I talked about it with Meditator a few weeks ago. That it's completely different. Like you'd be busting your ass to get the perfect demo to get a record deal, and that's just not the system anymore. Unless you know, for very few,
you got
to
be really good at social media to be able to even get noticed in the first place.
That's disappointing, it's a disappointing truth. It's a disappointing truth.
I suck at social media, never going to make it.
Let me tell you, I mean, Mary does, thank goodness for her, that she's like really good at it, like for this and for Fish Fest, and she's so good at it, stays on it, and I just like, she's like, go hit the like button on the other page. Lets me know when she posts something, and it's like, you know, just stay in touch with family, but and friends, and when the next show is, but outside of that, I don't know about you, brother.
I'm good on it. I wish I could just hire somebody.
It's so important, isn't it? Like, and how long has that changed? Less than a decade. Less than a decade for that to change.
Yeah.
To be necessary way for you to get out there known as an artist. Just in general, it's...
I remember being a kid and hopping on MySpace, and that was the wildest fucking thing in the entire planet. I was so stoked. I remember, like, you know, because I had nothing but CDs and MySpace page. And it's just like,
oh, cool. Do they have a MySpace page? I remember, you know, that was it for bands. That was the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to, like, save their music to your home screen. Anytime anybody wanted to skim through your profile, they just selected one of the songs they liked out of your shit. And then just went through your shit, and it was cool. I don't know. Like it was a huge, man. Fuck Facebook. I mean, fuck social media in general. I'm tired of it all. But
I know.
Back then it was cool. You had to like worry about no matter what you clicked on. Am I gonna get a virus? And then you had to get virus protection that barely worked. And then out of nowhere, your computer would freeze up and make the dial tone noise.
And now the worries are different. People's, you know, they're saying that teens' mental health is being affected negatively. So we don't have to go down that road. But, you know, those things are eking out little by little, too.
Well, it's bringing on a form of attention seeking that the world has never seen before.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I need to do a song about it, too. There, put it into a good tune, brother.
I might have.
What about doing some live stuff? What do you think? I mean, obviously
I can't wait.
The ongoing the cover shows.
Yeah.
He wants to make them regular, right? Once a quarter maybe. I think is what he's going for. That's really cool.
Something like that.
Because that brings out a good crowd, and it's nice to see other musicians working together and you all getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And eventually just supporting each other in their own bands. Mm. But what about you as a solo, like where you have a band or?
I mean, I definitely have some dudes picked out for this. It's just a matter of I want to approach everything outside of social media the right way and streaming the right way. So I basically have to get my social media and my streaming things on a little bit of a, in my belief, a little bit of a higher platform than what they are right now by actually releasing material, because I've barely released anything. You know, I can't tell you how many covers that I've gone on my YouTube channel and just deleted because I didn't want them anymore. Like I just, so basically basically, my plan is to get this EP recorded and release it, which, you know, that includes music videos, promotion, planning of social promotion in general, even without the money. Like, it's a whole process. But when that's done, I do have people picked out, and I do have people that I have in mind that I haven't picked out yet, that I am very confident that whenever we go out and do something live, that it'll be fun and a cool experience. And that's basically my number one goal. Every time I play a show is to give somebody an experience. They can sit there and listen to your music all day and think it's cool, but if you don't create a moment for them, they're not going to remember you. And I fully believe in making sure that that's not a thing. Sorry, I'm fidgeting twiddling with the microphone.
No, that's all right. You just twiddled a little. It'll move up. That's...
We need to give this motherfucker some Viagra. That was...
That's great. You were in such a great moment there too.
I know.
It was the screen popper just decided to fall.
Yeah. It'll be definitely a thing. Once I get everything released, I have a plan to get live shows going, and I cannot wait until then. It's going to be very, very theatrical, very wild, raw. I don't. I'm not going to do the windbreaker and Adidas thing that a lot of other people do. I'm definitely going to go for like a very theatric, involving show. And if I can't put that together, I don't want to do it.
Just the likes of Alice Cooper, Marilyn Manson, a few others that I know like going basically in that route to have a show that happens. I mean, you know, Cooper was pretty big in the theatrics.
Yeah. Right? Oh, no. I every person that you just named off and a few more, I would definitely want to know what their asshole smelled like after they got done performing.
There it is. Brother James, can we, you know, so one of the ways you survive and pay for all this stuff is Music City Road Crew, right?
That's actually a side hustle.
Just, well, yeah. Whatever. I just figured we would promote that or whatever you wanted to. It's more of your own thing, you and Bryson. And we have contracted with you officially for Fish Fest.
Yes.
And but you do that as a side too, running back line. And
yeah.
I mean, what kind of stuff are you looking for? And how do they reach out for that?
Okay. Well, I mean, we do good stage roadie. Tech, roadie, drum tech, something fucks up while you're playing on stage. Pretty good at fixing that real quick. Honestly, if anybody's ever played the video game Brutal Legend and you go through the beginning of it where Jack Black talks about being a roadie, that's our life right there. That's our lifestyle. We try to stay in it. We get the job done and we make sure that you guys are playing the best fucking show that you can without any worries other than playing the show. So if you ever need any type of roadie, stagehand help that you're willing to hire on, come to us, Music City Road Crew. We're available on Facebook. You can also contact me, James Cole IV. You can contact Bryson Durham. Yes. He is the leader and the owner of Music City Road Crew. We have a few other dudes on our crew. We do tours, we do events, we do festivals, and we do local shows. We do everything and anything that you need.
Well, you guys have been there right since the first Fish Fest, and one thing, not just that, but the blast beats in the borough, like I've been around when that's your job for the night, and you guys treat the bands like they were your band. I don't know, you transmit that admiration and just the love for the love of it. And how you guys do your stuff,
man. That's the only reason we do it. Yeah, it's, you know, like, right. We're both musicians. We both have a love for
everything. And then get paid for what you do. You know.
Yeah, I mean, because at the same time, right. I'm just you taking our days off.
Or, yeah, you know, that's it, man.
Even working after you already get off your shift, you gotta get paid a little bit.
It shows the love of it. So should we? I don't have it queued up, but we can still add one. Is there anything else we sneak out, or you want to keep everything else under the hat?
No. So, I actually have a rock project. It's not a project. It's a band. It's me, Cody Scott of Sidewinder, and Derek DePrano. he smells like meatballs. Sorry, I had to do that. Okay.
it's a three piece right now. We've been, you know, bringing other people in to practice and to write and to, you know, see who's a good fit. But we do have a single recorded. It's set to release on September 17th. This will be the first time that anybody has ever fucking heard it, and it'll probably be the last time because we're gonna show you about a minute of it. It's just hard rock, man. It's pure hard rock. It's something that is definitely separate from anything that I've ever done musically. But it's a genre that I love wholeheartedly. I'm into a lot of different things other than metal, so I try to do my best to explore different boundaries that I can. And when me and Cody started getting together writing this stuff, it was just kind of just flowing off of us. We would get drunk at 3 a.m. and write out feelings, and then like we would put this whole song together, and it's like, wait, that's kind of catchy. Fuck, all right, yeah, let's do it. Nice. It's just this song is called Far From a Winner, and it is by Found Underneath.
Tonight. All right, perfect intro. What are we're doing about a minute of it, you said?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Just a little teaser. All right.
Yeah.
Brother, man, thank you. This is it's different now that we've known each other for a while. It's a little more comfortable us sitting here catching up.
Yeah.
I look forward to you being a part of Fish Fest very much. Extremely thankful that you're going to perform as well.
I'm stoked, man. Yes. Cannibal Corpse is my dad's favorite band. It was my best friend's favorite band, and it is a band that I very much appreciate and idolize as heroes within the metal community. So I'm stupid stoked to be doing this. It's gonna be really cool. Yeah, I can't wait to get sweaty.
I gotta
get
you introduced to the kids playing too, and you're gonna like them. They're definitely young, but boy, that they just, they're three piece. This thrash band, that dystopian, yeah. Three piece, and very impressed with their hunger, how grown up they've been. I mean, just get you introduced to them. So I think it'd be a good thing for you guys do what you're gonna do that night, at least to have one little get together rehearsal. I'm working on that right now.
The one thing that I ask out of anybody that listens to this, if you were there at Fish Fest and you are watching, like, I believe it's the last song of the night.
This is the last song of the night, yes.
I ask that you bring me a beer and a sandwich while I'm doing it. That'd be really cool.
There it is, man. All right. Here's check out Cody and James Cole, Music City Metal. Music City Metal, Far From Winter, back with James Cole on a long break. So tell us about who played on these tracks here, and when can we hear the whole thing?
The Untitled track, that's the one that me and Evan wrote together. And then I have Alec Hera as a feature on there. And then I also have Sigur Rolls doing drums, but the one that I just played, this is like a kind of like a very DIY exclusive fucking thing for me, not on Larry, on me. Because these things, you know, it could, I'm planning on releasing them next year, but it may not be until the year after.
Nice. That was a good little tease.
Yeah. So you can only hear them on here. But that the Untitled one is not even technically, that's not the final product. That's the one that was done, and then we decided to, or I decided, and Robbie agreed to redo some things. So Seeger redid the drums. They're a little bit different now, and they're super badass, and they're live. And then, you know, Alec went and redid his feature. So it's exclusive. That's the only time you're going to be able to hear that version ever.
Right. All right. Nice.
And then
I appreciate that.
Far From a Winner, that's found underneath. That's the rock project. That's something that has been released as being a thing, but we haven't released the song yet. It will be available on October 17th. I'm hoping to, you know, get it on some local radio stations and stuff like that. I've been sending emails and the whole galore of things that I hate to fucking do.
You have to do. We'll get some, bring some to Fish Fest, man. Everyone who's going to have any, I don't know.
Man, sell some. You can have a hug and a handshake. Right. And you go, shit.
We'll hang something up about it. We have to. Music City Metal. Yeah, the great choices on musicians there. All very tight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Larry. So. What is your favorite horror movie?
You know, I remember we talked about this, and I think you're going to laugh at me, but I think the thing that scared me the most was Jaws. It changed my life, because I have to tell you this. I was really into horror until my son was born, and I don't know what happened, but I stopped enjoying them. But you know, nothing against anyone that loves them. I like a good scare from time to time, but I don't know what happened. So I really like, oh, what am I going to do when I talk about my favorite horror film? Because I kind of like, back in the days as a teenager and, you know, watching all the Friday the 13th series and all that. I mean, I have great memories doing that, but it all just like ended. So what? I know you're pretty extensive in this area, so that means you're tough to get freaked out, I would imagine, right? There's got to be one that just that scared the hell out of you. What was it?
Okay, yeah, for sure. Okay, so I started off. My dad was just like a huge horror person. You know, he grew up in the late 70s. I believe he was born in like 76, something like that. I may have just fucked that up. Sorry, Dad.
But he might have just made him happy. Made him a little bit younger.
So it's like, you know, late 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, like late 80s and early 90s. He was in his like you know, his 20s and. Or, you know, late teens, whatever. So, you know, he grew up around, like, whenever basically all of my favorite still to this day movies came out, because I watched them so much growing up, and he had such, like, a passion for things like that and comics and stuff that he's definitely, like, handed down to me. I may have gone a little bit fucking too far with it, because now it's, like, it's turned almost into like my entire life is horror movies and music. But so the one that really got me when I was a kid, the one that took me, I still loved every other horror movie that I was watching, no matter what it was. If it had things that turned me on, it fucking turned me on. But the one that fucked me up as a kid and took me a long time to go back and rewatch it and then finally embrace it. It took me all the way until I was 19 years old to be able to go back and watch this movie. And I saw it probably when I was like five or some shit like that.
Well, that's a little young.
my parents did not believe in censorship.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Anything like that. So I'm actually thankful for that. The movie was It. Stephen King's It. That fucked me up. Dude, I hated clowns.
I haven't seen any of them. It's changed the whole persona on clowns. Like, you keep hearing these reports, like something was just happening in Singapore with somebody just standing outside bus stops.
They're doing the clown Singapore thing again, dude. That was like four or five.
It's like every years Halloween. Ago
or it's fucking dudes just go around and stand around and do this clown thing, and everybody's on social media like, oh my god, they're from outer space and they're coming to kill you and they're real and fuck.
I have a friend that I work for a while. I tour managed for him for the video game thing. I've talked to you about it before. It was great years of my life. The guy was a the big part of the marketing department of Ringling Brothers for like 18 years. So he was around the circus. He marketed it, came up with gimmicks to sell tickets and all that. And he just said clowns are creepy, weird people, period. And you know, forget about a horror movie. He's just like, all of them just like freaked me out as people. They were bizarre. Not, I'm sorry if you make a living as a clown. Nothing
personal. Dude, I have friends that are clowns now. Like, I now to this day, the It franchise in itself, even the new ones, they're my favorite movies. I go back and I laugh my ass off at the first one now. I absolutely love them. And I have some friends back when, you know, being a horror kid, I automatically got attracted to working at Nashville Nightmare. So I did that for a while. And I met a lot of people. And that was still, when I first started, I fucking hated clowns. And then there's this guy, Danny. He did fucking Cringes the Clown. And my buddy was like, oh, you got to meet this guy. And I was like, word, all right. And then a fucking clown walks Cringes around the corner. The and I'm like, son of a bitch, what the fuck? No! But then, like, I got to know him outside of the mask. Because I met him in the fucking mask, and he was just such a cool dude. And then, you know, I have a buddy Xander and Reagan. They do clown shit, and it's now I love it. I love especially watching other people's reactions to him because I remember feeling the same way.
Oh my goodness, I know people that go insane with it. So. Other than It, so that was the one that really got you. You talked about Stephen King. I guess another one that was a great scare in a different kind of horror, again, it was Cujo. Because that was like something you could watch and like, wow, that could really happen to me. Could be stuck with a mean dog. And I, you know, some of this kind of is fantasy. Like, I know there's really serial killers out there, terrible, but, you know, a lot of this torture stuff, I think, is an element to fantasy, but Cujo to me could be something that like could actually happen.
So I hope I don't dissatisfy any of my potential suitors right now when they're fellow horror fanatics. But I've never seen Cujo.
Oh man, it becomes an adjective to dog. Like, oh, the dog's getting all Cujo, and it's a good one. It's a good. You have not highly recommended.
Okay.
If you're a Stephen King guy, you know.
I'm not a huge Stephen King. I love the motherfucker, and I have a few of his books. And, I mean, I loved his feature in Creepshow. I love a lot of his movies. But at the same time, it's not... When it comes to an author, he's not the one that I go... Like, when my hand reaches for something on the shelf, it's like tingles on that one. You know, it's... I'm more of a Anne Rice... Clive Barker.
Clive Barker.
I don't know. Stephen King is a super great writer, and I think his movies are amazing. But reading his books, to me, sometimes
they were mighty thick.
They're long fuckers.
They're mighty thick.
I love, dude, I'm a Harry Potter fanatic. I will read that book within a 2 or 3 day sitting every fucking time. I'll just go through it. But they're long and they're fucking, they're very, I love how detailed they are. That's awesome. But at the same time, it's kind of like right now I've been watching a series called Titans on HBO Max. It's about the DC characters. That, you know, started the Teen Titans and then the Teen Titans that are
I've checked one episode out. I haven't gotten that far into it. You into it?
It's fucking... Oh, okay. So I'm a huge DC and Marvel fan just in general. Anytime they put out something on TV, I'm fucking about it. And I've been... This is a series that, because it has so many good... it has so many... cool moments of like fighting scenes and the action and, you know, the things that go on inside the comics. You know, you get to learn more in depth about the characters, like past or current situations and things like that. But I also think that some dickhead decided that it was a good idea to let somebody who has been directing or shooting for fucking drama series It's because it's like fucking like every there's like, you know, they're 45 minute episodes. They're fucking 20 minutes of boohoo. I love you. This person's fucking this person. This fucking is fucking this person's behind this person's back. These two people are falling in love. This person really wants to fuck that person. And it's fuck. I don't, you know what? I don't care who's fucking who. I don't care why they are sad in that moment, unless it's detrimental to the storyline. It's like they took the comic book parts and they put them in there. They put them in there well, but then they wanted to make sure that they could get more of a broader audience than just the fucking comic nerds.
The drama thing.
Yes. Right. But man, I hate that. I've literally been saying it for the past 3 years. Stop taking my comic books and making them into drama series. I'm so mad. Stop it. You have all that money and all that drama is the thing that you got to go against. You an asshole.
So as far as like new horror that's coming out, what was something I would? Oh, the new Halloween.
I'm stoked for that.
Goodness gracious,
she's back. Cool.
Yeah. See again. I don't know. I don't know what happened to me with it. Not that.
Man, you know what?
It's hard to explain. Something went off inside me, and just like, I don't know.
There was this Netflix series for Dracula that came out, and recently, like I'm a huge vampire nerd in general, dude. Like, one of my favorite other movies is The Lost Boys, the original
one. Oh, yeah.
That's a cool-ass soundtrack. Just fucking everything about it is awesome. I love it. And it made me fall into more just vampire things in general. So, you know, I went into Anne Rice. And then if I saw a video game that had vampires in it, I fucking got it. Or if I saw a book with vampires in it, I got it. So, vampires were the shit. But when I started hitting my teenage years, I started diving deeper into like everything that was before the 70s. And then I got into, you know, like fucking Bela Lugosi and shit like that. And just, I fell in love with vampires in general. The Netflix series, it's just called Dracula. So it goes back to like, you know, like the Bram Stoker thing of him having the brides. But it was so dark, but it was clever and it was witty at times, and it was just the perfect. I think that guy did Dracula perfectly. He's not better than anybody else that I've seen. I don't think any of them are better.
I do like Dracula stuff,
dude. It's so worth it. I binged the fuck out of it. As soon as I watched it, I was just like, "Well, all right, I got to work in 6 hours. I got three to fucking."
So we did kind of get into, and you say binging, and this is just, you made me think with the. There was the Superman one that came out, and they just put them on HBO Max, and that's the way I like watching stuff. No commercials. I despise them. So if I have any, so it's cool watching something. It's 42 minutes, not, you know, 1 hour with 20 minutes of bullshit in there. You know, buy this pill. That's all it is. But I kind of felt the same thing. Like in the beginning of it, I'm like, have you seen it? Where Superman's married and has two teenagers?
No, I kind of took one look at it, and I'm not that guy, and I'm definitely not that guy that goes out of my way to say what the fuck I feel, but we're talking about it right now.
Yeah, I ended up disappointed because of the fluff. Again, what you were talking about, you know, like, okay, I get it. So they're trying to portray Superman, the family man, split, you know, world savior, but the fluffy part lost me. Mm-hmm. You know, again, just... it was basic teenage stuff, and I think it's because they are targeting that crowd where teenagers are like, yeah, I'm going to do the same thing, man. You know, but here we are, we're a little bit older, and we don't need to see
I went
it. So
that
it kind of
already.
Lost me.
I'm not about it.
I was thought I was getting into it, like, oh, a different angle on Superman, all right, cool, you know, just taking over the farm, and just
they basically just like it like touch the they touched the tip of your penis and they said, are you ready? And you were like, yeah. And then they just fucking punched it.
Exactly. I got halfway through like a few episodes in, and I'm like, oh my goodness, shut it off, I gotta go watch Joker, which I did. I ended up finally, I saw that.
Dude,
that
I love that movie.
Very good.
I've watched it way too many times.
I mean, you know,
That was one of the realest fucking movies that I've seen in a long time.
To me, that like is a it really explained like we talked earlier, we were talking about just dealing with things and mental illness in general, kind of. But that is like a something that's believable with someone who has really untreated something, that someone that doesn't get the right kind of help, not just a pill or like the whole mom thing. How sideways he was until all of a sudden he went sideways and found out how much he liked killing. You know, that if you think about it, it was deep in that sense. Like, wow, like that could be a sad reality to someone going, you know, untreated mental illness, basically, you know?
No, it's, and that's like that. I think that's a wonderful way to spread the awareness about it, because, you know, there are people that are going to watch that and be like, oh, fuck, that's fucked. Let's go look right into this. Is this real? You know, like that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, his mom obviously was mentally ill as well. And it, a lot of times that stuff is hereditary, but I think the environment he was put in,
it was both, character. Man. It was the perfect psychological, fucking oh no, sorry guys, I'm really high. I had a really good word for that, but I can't remember.
That's all right, insert here. Brother, man, thanks for coming out. It's been a while since you've sat at the table, and it's I'm happy that you did,
man. I am too. It's a lot cooler in here now. It's like, it's actually pretty badass. The fact that you have the doors right there, I feel there's so much testosterone in my body right now.
Yeah, I tried to, I don't know, dedicate one area to all the local peeps and then everything else that kind of got me to where I'm at now. I don't know. Important bands to me. They're not all there. I could have this plastered. We kind of like shifted to the outside of the house this year and like, well, no more decorating on this and that. But thanks. It's pretty cool here anyway.
It smells really Sounds good, good too. Yeah. That's my thing. If your house doesn't smell good, I don't want to be there.
Yeah. No, always got something good. I'm very olfactory sensitive myself. Let's share your social media with everyone, and I'll do a Fish Fest plug one more time.
Yeah, so if you would please go check out my Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. It is all under James Cole IV. That is IV as in the fourth Roman numeral of that letter alphabet. Please come out to Fish Fest on October 22nd.
Sorry about that.
And the 23rd, where I will be performing with Dystopian and Rob Barrett of Cannibal Corpse. On that night, thank you.
I can't say a word after that. Music City Metal.